Got your Bibles this morning? Turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, we're going through the book of Romans together, and it's been quite a journey. We had tremendous meeting last Sunday. Were you here last Sunday?
Yeah.
We had some good stuff happening, and God was good to us, rich in the Word as well. And then Wednesday night, we had a great meeting on Wednesday night.
Yeah.
It went very long, but it was very good. Amen?
Amen.
Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 this morning. I got really close to the tug of war people. We all fell on the grass together in front of the courthouse. And wow. I found out I'm not as young as I used to be. I look a lot younger than I am, don't I? Thank you. But I'm an old guy and I paid for it, but God touched me. Steve prayed for me this morning, and I feel great. I'll tell you what, my back just feels like a young man again. So thank you, Steve, for your prayers, and thank God. But, yeah, we had a good time yesterday. Even though we didn't win, we were good sports. Yeah. Another church won, so that's a good thing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Lord, we ask you to open it up to us. Holy Spirit, that you would just be with us as we look in your word and give us knowledge, wisdom, understanding as to how we're to walk as mature Christians in this day and this hour when it's so much needed, not to just talk about it, but to walk about it, Lord. To actually have it happen in our lives, to actually be mature Christians that are able to talk about you and tell others about you in this crucial time that we're living in. In Jesus' name. Amen. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free. Somebody say free.
Free.
From the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Last week we talked about the struggle between the flesh and the spirit, and if we try to please God by doing good works, how many know we don't get very far? Good works doesn't get us very far. Because good works only last for a time, and everybody's had bad, how many have had bad hair days? And we do things that we don't want to do because we're trying to get it done in the flesh. God said it's already done. The verdict has been established. No condemnation is placed on the believer. We are not under condemnation anymore. I love what that verse says. It says, there is therefore. What's that therefore? Read chapter 6 and 7 if you want to know. So, no condemnation is placed on us. And anybody ever heard the term double jeopardy? Double jeopardy. That means when you've been tried for something and found innocent, you cannot be tried again for the same thing. So we've been tried in the court of heaven. You and I have been tried and found innocent, not because of us, but because of what Jesus did for us.
Amen.
And we've been declared innocent. We can never be declared guilty again. That's pretty good news. I'm preaching better than you're saying amen already. We have been found innocent by the substitutionary death of Christ for us. When Jesus uttered those three words on the cross, it is finished. That forever ended any condemnation for those of us who have put our trust in Jesus Christ. That's where our power comes. That's where our strength comes from. That's where our anointing comes from. That's where we're able to overcome the works of the enemy because of Jesus Christ and what He did. It's not because of us. It's not, I wish it was sometimes. So I could get the credit. My flesh likes getting the credit. Come on, somebody, be honest. You like saying, I'm a pretty good Christian. Come on. All of us have patted ourselves on the back. We're pretty good Christians. But has nothing to do with what we do. It has everything to do with what Jesus has done. Amen. Chapter 7 dealt with the man and the law. Last week we talked about that. And it's interesting, the word I is used 28 times in chapter 7. And the law, the word law occurs 20 times, but the Holy Spirit is not mentioned once after verse 7 in chapter 7. This is the reason for our failure, because that whole thing that Paul was talking about, we're struggling with ourselves, always trying to be good, but never able to accomplish that because we've not put our full and complete trust in Christ. So the law is found in the Spirit. In verse 2 it says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. That's past tense. I've been made free from the law of sin and death. That means that I have a choice every day to either walk in sin or walk in righteousness. We couldn't say that before. Before we were Christians, we did the things that come normally to our flesh. Anybody there? Come on. We were Christians. Before we were Christians, we did things that came naturally. And what the Word of God wants us to see is after we become Christians, we do things that come naturally. Spiritually, naturally. How many know the Holy Spirit is always on time? The Holy Spirit is always speaking to us. We can't accuse Him of being busy with somebody else. Well, it's your fault, God, that I sinned because you didn't speak to me. There's a little voice that goes off in our head every time we come across something, we get angry, or we say something we shouldn't, or we do something we shouldn't. The Holy Spirit has already said, don't do that. Come on. We hear it. We just don't listen to it. That's why we get ourselves in trouble. So this law of the Spirit, it's not what is written. It's a regulated principle that is activated in the life of the believer. The law of the Spirit now is activated, and it begins to take shape and form in us as we grow in the likeness of Christ and we listen to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will steer us around sin. We don't have to experience sin to experience God's grace. God's grace is the keeping power of His grace so that we don't have to sin. Come on. That's the whole thing. Paul says, shall we sin that grace may abound? No. We don't have to sin to experience God's grace. We experience God's grace and we overcome sin. The law of the Spirit does not bring condemnation. The law of God brought judgment. Paul said, the law was a tutor to bring me to Christ. The law was a tutor. And once I came to Christ, then Christ filled me with His Holy Spirit. And He gives me the wherewithal to be able to walk around sin, to shun sin in the flesh, and walk according to the Spirit. The law of the Spirit brings forth life. The law of God brought judgment, but the law of the Spirit brings life in us. And we find that in Christ Jesus is the position of justification, no longer judgment. I can't be judged by the enemy because I've already been judged by God. Come on, somebody. He can't bring charges against me anymore because I've already been charged and found not guilty. I was guilty, but I'm not guilty anymore because my life is hidden in Christ. Our lives are no longer open to the attacks and condemnation of the enemy, for we are hidden in Christ. If you have your Bibles, turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, I love verse 3. It says, for you died, past tense, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. Come on, somebody. Our life is now hidden with Jesus. When the enemy tries to find me, where am I at? I'm in Jesus Christ. He can no longer touch me. He can no longer come against me because my life is now hidden in Christ. But I have a choice. I can choose to try to fight the enemy on my own and fight that temptation on my own. But how many times have we done that and failed? You say, well, I know enough, God, let me try it. We lose every time. Our death in Christ is a fact. Now our life can be also a life that's hidden in Christ. Our hope, our victory, our identity, our power, our strength are in Christ. Our position dictates our experience. The experience that we now have for being in Christ is that we win every time. It's here that the law of the Spirit works in us. The law of the Spirit in life is found in Christ Jesus. Sanctification now can begin to work in us. It's brought forth through life in Him. But the perception is reality. What we perceive is reality in our lives. Our minds can play tricks on us. That's where the battle is. We can feel like we're not saved. We can feel like we're not declared righteous. We're declared sinful. We can feel like that, and the enemy can come. His biggest deception is deception. Perception is reality to our minds. Trauma knows no time or date. You can begin to think of something terrible that happened in your life and your body doesn't know that you're not still going through that incident. That incident becomes real to you. Come on, somebody. I'm talking a little psychology, but you know what I'm talking about. Your body doesn't have to be going through it. You can have trauma, but Christ has given us the tool to overcome that, and that tool is the Holy Spirit. The problem arises when we listen to and walk in the lies that attack our minds. That's where the battle is every time. The choice was before we didn't have a choice. But now you and I have a choice as Christians, as mature Christians. We don't have to take that guff anymore. When that stuff begins to rise up and our mind begins to think of that, the Bible says take every thought into captivity. So now we can take the thought and say, I don't want to think that way. I have to remind myself that I've been declared righteous by the eternal judge of heaven. And because I'm righteous, now I have all the supply that heaven gives me. I don't have to beg for anything. I have love. Come on. I have joy, I have peace, I have long-suffering, I have gentleness, meekness, faith, temperance. Those things are the fruit of the Spirit that are given to me by right of who I am. And because I'm hidden in Christ, I am now able to overcome everything that comes my way. Verse 2 says, Romans 8, 2 says that I've been set free from the law of sin and death. Set free, that verb, it speaks of a specific incident during a set event. That means at the cross, when Jesus died and said it is finished, I enter that declaration of God. It's not something that happens every day. It's not something that I try to formulate in my own mind. It's a historical incident that happened that when I say, Jesus, come into my heart and live in my heart, I now enter that time with Him every time I'm attacked. Come on, somebody. I can remind myself all dominion of sin and death was broken at the cross and I'm entering that victory. That's what it means when it says the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. We have a switched kingdom. We are no longer in the kingdom of darkness. We're in the kingdom of light. Colossians chapter 1:13 says, He has delivered us from the power, past tense by the way, He has delivered us, not delivering or will deliver. You there? He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Verse 14 of Colossians 1, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. That's past tense. That's a historical happening He delivered me. The moment I said, Jesus, come into my heart, He delivered me. He didn't leave me there to see if I could win. He didn't leave me there to see if I could be okay under attack. He's not getting any glory because I'm strong. He has already been strong. He has already done it. Come on, somebody. The Living Bible says in Colossians 1:13, I love what the Living Bible says. It says, for He has rescued us out of darkness and the gloom of Satan's kingdom and brought us into the kingdom of His dear Son. And the New Living Testament says, for He has rescued us from the one who rules in the kingdom of darkness, and He has brought us into the kingdom of His dear Son. So He's brought us out from underneath the rule of the enemy and brought us under the rule of Jesus Christ. Did a little comparison in your notes this morning. The law of sin is in the kingdom of darkness, and again, we sin naturally. But now, because of the law of the Spirit in us, we're naturally holy. That's a new concept. We're naturally holy. What's that mean? Doesn't mean we're better than anybody else. It means that we're able to derive our identity from the holy God that lives in us. Doesn't mean we're better than anybody. As a matter of fact, we're zero with the rim kicked off. We're nothing. He makes us everything. Come on. Because we're Christians, we're nothing. God, thank God that He doesn't judge me by my righteousness. In the kingdom of darkness, we had desires of the flesh. And we usually did them. Come on. Thank God for sanctified memory. Now that we're in the kingdom of light, we have righteous desires. They automatically come up. They automatically come up. If you're looking at something or listening to something or doing something you're not supposed to, automatically your natural desires of holiness come to your heart, come to your mind. And you have a choice. You didn't have a choice before. Now you have a choice. And if you make the wrong choice, you pay for it. The kingdom of darkness was working death in us. But now the kingdom of light is bringing forth life in us. That life is Zoe, Z-O-E. It's the higher life. It's the life of God within us. We have victory. Come on, somebody. We walk in the victory that Jesus supplied for us. The wretched man in chapter 7, verse 24, has been made free from the bondage of the flesh. Says, O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of flesh? Who delivered us? Jesus did. The freedom can only be found in Jesus Christ. And He established a law. It's just as strong, stronger than the law of sin and death, is the law of life in Christ Jesus. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ did what the written law could never do. It could never cause anybody to be righteous. It could only point out sin. When we tried to do that, in our flesh, we failed. The law was powerless to break sin's power. And the law is weak because of the flesh. But Christ came in His infinite wisdom. He came and said, I'll take your place. I'll pay for your sin so that you can live righteously and holy before Me. What a brilliant, brilliant thing that He did. He came, He was perfect. He was without sin, and He took my sin in His own body on the tree that I, being dead to sin, might live unto righteousness. Yeah. It says so in verse 3. It says, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. He condemned sin in the flesh, but He made me righteous. How many know there's a guilty party? The guilty party is the sin that died on the cross. That old man, that old Rick, that old Steve, that old John, that, come on. He's no longer alive, but God made me free from the law of sin and death and put within me righteousness. He sent His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Christ's body became the offering, and He took away my sin with His own body. Christ now has condemned sin in the flesh. At the cross, sin was condemned, and it's not part of the believer. Listen very carefully. Sin was condemned, and we stand righteous. Why? The sin nature has been taken out of the way. Our nature has changed. It's like we're being introduced to the real us. Our nature now has changed. We're no longer naturally sinful. We're naturally holy. If you will take that and you will walk in that every day, you'll find out that you'll be victorious. You'll find out you don't have to do the things that the world says you have to do. And we are being barraged all the time with temptation. I mean, if you wake up and go outside the house, you're going to be tempted. Tempted to lie, cheat, steal, and even encouraged to do so. Come on, somebody. Even by our own government. The sin nature has been taken out of the way. I no longer have to sin. It's now a choice for me. Come on. That's where we get into trouble. We don't think we have a choice. We think that sin has strength. And you know where the problem is? It's in our head. We have an exercised faith. Faith is able to grasp the promises of God, where we're able to walk in righteousness and holiness at all times. I said it before, I'll say it again. You'll probably ask me not to say it anymore. Sin should be a surprise, not an expectation. It should be a surprise when we sin, when we fall into that. Maybe in a moment of weakness. I'm not saying we never sin, but we don't have to. We have entered now a new walk because of the law of Spirit of life in Christ. That walk, by the way, in the original language, literally means to go about or walk around. When used with the preposition that it used, the new walk, it means the norm of conduct is set. We either walk after the flesh or after the Spirit. With freedom to choose now comes a grave responsibility. Now we have no excuse. No longer is it innate. Our nature is not sinful. It's holy. So we have a choice as a holy man or a woman to make the right choices. It is foreign to one made righteous to habitually sin. It takes more faith to walk in sin than it takes to walk in righteousness. Come on. Stay with me for a little bit. It takes more faith for me to walk in sin than it does in righteousness because my nature is not sinful anymore. Now it's righteous. Now I have to make a righteous choice every time because the Holy Spirit makes sure that He tells me to make righteous choices. Jesus is forever praying for me, making sure I can make the right choices. And when I make a wrong choice, it takes a step of faith, the wrong direction. Quiet in here. I'm just telling you what the Word of God says. The Word of God says that I've been declared righteous, that I've been declared holy, that my nature is now taken on the nature of God. I'm a new creation in Him, and therefore I don't have to sin. I just don't have to. I can choose to and pay the consequences, but I don't have to. Before I had to, now I don't. Examples are living in adultery or fornication, stealing from our employer or government, lying to others, those things that we incorporate in our lives. It's a sad thing to see Christians that are living like the world and still wanting the benefits of being a Christian. That's not hypocrisy, that's insanity. Come on. It's just insanity. We've lost our minds if we're walking and talking and acting like the world when we've been born again. We've lost our sense. Because God has given us everything for victory and we're walking in defeat. Come on, somebody. Stay with me now. Turn to Ephesians. You got your Bibles. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Say, Rick, well, you're raising the bar. I mean, I don't know, but I'm telling you what the Word, I'm just telling you what the Word of God says. Don't shoot the messenger. Yeah. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20, Paul writing the church at Ephesus, he says in verse 20, but you have not so learned Christ, if indeed, verse 21, you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus. Underline, as the truth is in Jesus. If you can't mark your Bible, mark your neighbor's Bible. That you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. This could never be said to a sinner. This could never be said to somebody that has not received Christ. They're unable to even grasp it, let alone putting off former conduct. That's why it's such a laughable thing that people make New Year's resolutions and they last about 2 hours. Somebody says, well, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to be mean anymore. I'm not going to smoke anymore. I'm not going to do it. Without Christ, you can't do it. And by the way, if you're Christian, you shouldn't be making New Year's resolutions. Just a thought. Should just be walking in the strength and the power that God gives you to have victory. Come on. But Paul says, you have not learned Christ that way. If you've learned, if indeed you have heard Him, how many have heard Jesus? Come on. You say, well, I don't, well, if you haven't heard Jesus lately, find out what He says. Get in the Bible, learn what the Bible says and obey what the Word of God says. This is our instruction booklet. Men especially don't like reading instructions. How many men are? How many men have ever gotten a toy for your one of your family members and you open the thing or a desk? I'll tell you what, I got a desk a couple of years ago and it had, you know, it was from IKEA. And it was one of those Japanese things, you know, that it took me 4.5 hours to put the thing together. And then I had pieces backwards and I had to tear it back apart. And you know what the problem was? I didn't read the instructions. I just figured I laid everything out. I said, this goes here and that goes there. That's simple. So men, come on, we don't like reading instructions. We like to get messages maybe like this or hear a tape or something and say, okay, I got it. No, refer to the instruction manual. Make this your friend. Carry it with you. Everybody's, you know, a lot of people got smartphones. I've got 2 different Bible versions on my phone. I don't even need to carry my Bible anymore. Although I do. Read the instruction booklet. And it says that we put off concerning our former conduct. In other words, we don't have to act like that. God wants us to grow up. Wow. Elementary Christianity. The world's full of elementary Christians. God wants us to graduate, be college Christians, master's degree. Come on, somebody. Colossians chapter 3. Turn back there quickly with me. Colossians chapter 3. Paul is writing to the church in Colossae. He's writing to believers, not to people that wish they were believers. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 8, he says, but now you yourselves are to put off all these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. Wow, what a mouthful. Look at that with me, come on. It says, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. How does he know that we put off the old man? When was the old man put off? At the cross. Put your name beside there. and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. Just as Christ, just as God breathed into man the breath of life, He's breathed into you the new breath. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. This new walk is according to the Spirit, in conformity with the Spirit of God. Those who walk according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit, verse 5. Back to Romans 8, 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. That could never be written to an unbeliever. It's written to believers. We have a choice now. We either walk after the Spirit or after the flesh. Our choice every day. There's no vacation in Christianity. Well, we can't say, okay, I did my deed. I went to church on Sunday, went to church on Wednesday. I tithed, I prayed. I prayed on somebody called the prayer list, and so I prayed for them. Now I'm going to go and do what I want to do. No, we have become slaves of righteousness. That means that we're under obligation by the Spirit to set our mind on the things of the Spirit. One must set their mind on the Spirit to walk in the Spirit. In other words, we got to get up on purpose in the morning and say, I'm going to walk the way God wants me to walk today. And you know what happens? People start to take notice. Come on. You don't have to pass them a tract. Your life is a tract. Well, you don't have to shove a big King James Bible underneath their nose. You just need to speak. It's okay to plagiarize the Word. Just tell them what the Bible says. Tell them what's happening in your life. Let your life be a living example. That's what begins to happen, because now we're not walking in the flesh and doing religious things. I'm talking to the wrong people. Come on. God's not impressed with religious things. Oh, look what God, I sang, I went to church, I did this. No, live the life that God called you to live. Your mind is no longer set on the flesh. It's set on the Spirit. We do spiritual things because it's the natural thing to do. We do righteous things because it's the natural thing to do. We do the right thing when everybody else is doing the wrong thing. Why? Because it's the natural thing to do. We're naturally spiritual. We don't have to reach out and say, boy, what did the pastor say? What did they say? It becomes natural because now we're allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us. We're actually Spirit-led Christians. And how many know if you're led by the Spirit, you're not going to fail? Preach it better than you said, amen. Failure is not in my thinking. Victory is in my thinking. I'm going to be victorious. And when I do fall, when the righteous man falls seven times, he gets up. I'm not condemned. I've already been made righteous. And so when I go, and listen very carefully, the four things. Anybody remember the four things? First, if you do sin, write these down if you haven't. If you do sin, number one, recognize it's a sin. Come into agreement. Acknowledge the sin. Recognize that it's a sin. Come on. Secondly, repent from the sin. But when you repent from the sin, you're repenting as a righteous one because your nature is holy now. You're not a sinner having to go through the whole judgment thing. You've been judged already righteous. Get this thing. Because when we sin, we come to our Father as a righteous person. The third is the hardest to do, and it's to release the sin. Forgive yourself. So how could I do something so stupid? Forget it. Repent of it and release it. And then return to where God has you. Are you ready? Come on. You can do that. I have those four steps in the flyleaf of my Bible. All the time, I remind myself that I don't have to walk in condemnation. I don't have to walk in that kind of thing because I've been changed by the Spirit of God. We're under no obligation to walk in the flesh. Oh, but I have to. I can't be that way. I'm around people all day, and you know, if I get too spiritual, they won't accept me. No, you're thinking wrong. If you get too spiritual, they'll actually ask you questions. Why are you like that? I'm not talking about being weird. Come on. I'm not talking about being strange. I'm not talking about saying things that we don't live up to. I'm not talking about bumper stickers and King James Bibles. I'm talking about things that change environments. You know what I'm talking about. You've been around people like that. They just, when they walk in a room, something changes. The conversation changes. They're sure of who they are. They know who they are in Jesus. Maybe that's you. And I champion that. I clap about that. I honor that. We need to be more of that, because it's absolutely imperative in this hour, in this time of history, that Christians are Christians. Christ-like. How many have ever been around somebody, they say they're a Christian, and they turn to you and say, you're a Christian? You say, well, I don't know if I want to say that after what you just did. I don't know if I want to admit that or not. I don't know if I told the story, but I'll tell it again. It's worth telling. I was working in sales, and I was with this couple. I was selling them a certain thing, and they had... The guy had a hat, what would Jesus do? And he had a t-shirt, and it had, you know, Christian sayings on it. And she had a Christian purse and a Christian. They had the things, what would Jesus do things on their wrist. And they didn't know me from Adam. I was working for a secular company at the time. And every other word was a curse word. And they had a hangover. They were drinking coffee. It was in early in the morning, and they were saying terrible things. And part of the conversation, of course, what do you do? Where are you from? That kind of thing. And then they ask you, well, what do you do besides this? What size family do you have? And I was associate pastor at the time, and I said, well, I'm an associate pastor at the church just down the street. And I go, oh, well, praise the Lord. Yeah, hallelujah. Yeah, we're Christians. Come on, somebody. You know what I said? I said, don't even go there. I really did. I put them on the spot. I said, don't even go there, because you just spent the last half an hour telling me you weren't Christians. Now, because of your t-shirt and your hat and your words, I'm supposed to believe that? Come on, someone. Be what God called you to be naturally. It's not something you have to work up. It's in you. If you're a Christian, if your name is written in the book of life, God made sure to give you everything you need to be victorious, not to be sin forgiveness in a vast eddy, in a vast whirlpool of confusion. No, you're a Christian. You walk like a Christian. Talk like a Christian. Be a Christian. Be who He called you to be. Romans 8:7 says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Now we have that choice. We are of the Spirit of God, and we are called, verse 14, the first time son is found in the book of Romans is in verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. I only have one son. His name is Jason. If he called me today and he said he needed my help, you would need to say goodbye to me. I'd be gone in the next 2 seconds. Come on, somebody. How many dads could say if your children asked for your help, what would you do? You'd do whatever you could to help them. Come on. I don't want my son to ever have to, to ever even think that he couldn't call on me. How much more our Heavenly Father, when we need help, when we get into a position where we have a choice to make, and it's a difficult one, come on. Flee lust, the Bible says. We just say, help, God, help. And what does God do? He helps us. Watch what it says. Verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received, past tense, the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father, or Daddy. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. What's that saying? It says, when I go to God and ask for help, I don't need to wonder if He's going to help me. He's going to help me. Not only am I His son, but I'm His heir. That means everything that He has is mine. Now I want to ask you a question. Is God broke? Is God sick? Is God tempted? So anything we ask Him for, He gives us. If we're tempted, He's given us a way of escape. Instantly. Not something we have to, you know, go to a prayer meeting and pray for about 2 hours. Oh, somebody pray with me. Somebody pray for me. Instantly, when we cry out to God and say, help! In the next second, God is helping us. Why? Because He wants us to walk in victory. We're His sons and His daughters. He's going to take care of us just like we as natural fathers and mothers will take care of our children. Father God is there. His freedom is for us. It's realized as we walk in the Spirit and we're sons of God. God takes us as far as we need to go to be victorious. Just as He died for the sins of the world, sin must die in me. Every time I make a choice of righteousness, I kill sin. Sin must not be set aside, but done away with. If you set it aside, it will take opportunity to seize the situation and bring forth death. If you delay sin, sin is patient. It will come back. Come on, somebody. Why would you as a Christian, knowing, and this is what always gets me, and I'm not beyond, I mean, I've done the same thing for myself. Let's just take a situation. You go, somebody suggests a movie, and you go to a movie, and you're sitting there in the movie theater, and things begin to happen on the screen that make you think sinful thoughts. What's the first thing you should do? Get up and get out of there! No, what we do is sit there and go, well, I'll just close my eyes and ears and get past this thing because I really want to see how this thing ends up. Oh, I'm mature. I can see this man, this woman committing fornication. Oh, man, flee. Get out of there. Get away from there. Don't put yourself in that situation. Why? Because now we're going to have to struggle. Now we're going to have, and whose fault it is? It's not the enemy's fault. He does what he's supposed to do. It's not God's fault. God didn't tell us to go there. Come on, somebody. God's given us the strength, inner strength, to say no and to get out of that situation, which we shouldn't have been in the first place. It's quiet in here. This whole thing, this journey that you and I are on through the book of Romans is just challenging us to grow up. Quit being sniffling little babies that want God to take care of us all the time. And forgive, just forgiveness, sin, forgiveness, sin, forgiveness, sin, forgiveness. No, God says, I want you to walk righteously so sin is no longer an issue. I need you to be a representative of mine that's victorious. You see, sanctification is not just an eradication of sin nature, it's a renewing of our human nature. Our human nature used to be sinful, now we're holy. Now we walk and talk and act like Jesus Christ, not walk and talk and act like the world. You can either turn there or not. I wanted to share several scriptures with you in closing today. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5 says, if you can get there quickly, if you want to turn there, smile when you're there so we can read it together. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. Let me see your pearly whites if you're there. Titus 3 and verse 5. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Titus. Titus chapter 3, verse, it's an old joke, but it still works. Titus 3, 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. So there it is. There's our position. We're righteous, not by what we have done, but because of His mercy. Now Hebrews, turn to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Hebrews 4:12. Again, you can smile when you're there. It's probably up on there, but it does us good to turn in the Bible so we get the Bible actually look like it's being used. Don't throw anything at me, please. For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Wow. You mean when I read the Bible, it just separates my soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and it separates my sin from my righteousness? Yes. If the Bible says, don't do it, don't do it. The Bible actually says that I'm to pray for my leadership. Pray for those who have rule over me in my government. Just a thought. He couldn't say this to unbelievers, but he's saying it to us. Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Man, that's mature Christianity right there. That's mature Christianity, that we're actually doing it. No wonder the world is poking fun at us. No wonder the world says, hey, you guys say this, but you do this, you're a bunch of hypocrites. They're right. But we don't have to. He's talking to believers. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove. Who are we proving it to? Not to God. God already knows you can do it. God's not up there going, man, I hope Rick can make it today. Man, gee, he's got some tough things to face. He already knows I can't. 2 Corinthians 3:18. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of God, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Isn't it wonderful to hear the Holy Spirit say, you're going to be changed from glory to glory, from mountaintop to mountaintop? The accent's not on the valleys. There are valleys, but thank God that we are delivered from them. And 1 Peter 1:14 says, as obedient children, just write it down, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance. Matter of fact, turn here. Come on, we'll take just a few more minutes. Everybody okay? Getting hungry? That's good. It's good. You're hungry. I am too. I didn't eat any breakfast. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance. What's that say? You used to be ignorant, now you're not. But as He who has called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. One version says some of your conduct, but we don't use that here. That's a joke. You can laugh at it. You also be holy in all your conduct. See what that says? See what that says? All your conduct. What's your Bible say? What's your Bible say? Does it say all? How can we do that? What? In all you do. Well, how can we do that? How can we all? What's all? Come on. And yesterday when we were doing the tug of the war, we said we could win, but our bodies said, no, you can't. It was a tease. Can I just tell you something? God is not into teasing. He's not into setting a goal for you that you can't accomplish. God doesn't say, be holy in all your conduct, give it a shot, see what you turn out with. God's up there. You guys are not holy. You're not getting it. Go try it again. No, God would never frustrate us. He's our Father. Come on. Be holy, for I am holy. Be holy in all your conduct. God has a place for us of holiness. Our nature is holy. Our nature is, the Bible says, we're partaking of the divine nature. And so God says, okay, you can do it. You can do it. I've already done it for you. What's Rick trying to say this morning? Complete sanctification is a reality. It's quiet in here. It starts with that single step of faith, saying, you know what? God, I believe you that I can be a holy person. Only you can do that. I can't do that for you. I can pray for you, put hands on you until you're bald. You can't, you've got to receive that within yourself, release by faith, say, I am holy and therefore I'm going to live a holy life. And I guarantee you, if you do it, you'll find success. You'll find success after success. You'll get a string of successes and you'll begin to be strong in the Lord. You'll begin to be able to see that God's the one that's doing it. It's not you. You can't do it. You weren't made to do it, but God made you to do it through His Son, Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, Paul writing, now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely. Your whole body, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Man, underline that. Put a circle around it. Put stars by it. I love verse 24. We always talk about verse 23. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. But verse 24 is the one that's faith-filled. It says, He who calls you is faithful, who will also do it. What will He do? He'll sanctify you completely, your whole spirit, soul, and body. All we've got to do is say, God, just like a son would ask his father, Father, I'm in trouble. Help me. Father, I need to be victorious. Help me. I need to be righteous. Help me. I need to be holy. God says, you got it. You got it. Here's everything you need. Don't even worry about it. You're an heir. You've got access to anything I have in heaven. Anything for your victory is available to you. We don't have to ask permission. God, do you have any more of this? Do you have any more joy for me? Do you have any more love for me? Do you have any more holiness for me? Do you have any more? God says, I have an abundant supply of it, man. Here you go. You know what that is? That's good scripture, because the Bible says, submit to God and resist the devil and he'll flee. So now we got victory without sin. We realize victory without having to say, sin, forgiveness, sin, forgiveness, sin, forgiveness. God, here I fell again, I fell again. God says, well, I'll give you a ticket, man. You don't even have to sin. I'll put you around sin. You'll walk in righteousness. Come on, son. Woo! And man, you get a generation of people like that, and that's what God is raising up, a generation of victorious Christians. Especially here. I mean, we need that. Bad examples are everywhere. How about some good examples? How about you and I be good examples to the world? It not only is plausible, it's a fact. It can be done. If that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, it will quicken your mortal bodies. Father, we pray this morning. We thank you for your goodness to us in the land of the living. We thank you, God, that it's not in the sweet by and by that we'll walk in victory. It's today. We thank you, God, that there's something within us that is able to give us victory. Lord, and that is your presence. Jesus, you left your place in heaven and came and died for me on the cross. Now you're living in me and you're making me righteous on a daily basis. God, thank you. Thank you for what you're doing for us, God. We want to walk in that. We want to walk as mature Christians, grasping what your promises are, that we may together see the victory. Lord, even as we live amongst people that we're supposed to be examples to, help us to be examples in everything we think and do and say. That we might not be a stumbling block, but a conduit of your love. In Jesus' name, amen.